want to thank Josie and Hayden and Matthew and all of those who have been baptized for sharing their story with us here today. It's so encouraging when you hear stories of people who are transformed by Jesus. It's really inspiring when we hear those stories. For me, every time I hear one of those stories, it reminds me of what Jesus has done for me, and it gives me hope for what Jesus can do for others around me. But for those of us who are committed followers of Jesus, the reason we take time in services like this to publicly proclaim and to hear the stories of people who have had their lives transformed by Jesus is all of us need to be reminded that Jesus is still transforming lives. And this causes us to continue to pray. It causes us to continue to seek opportunities where we can share with other people what Jesus has done for us, because it's really about him. Now, if you're here and you're wondering, hey, this has been fun to see all this, and it's been inspiring, and it's been interesting, but you know, maybe that's just for them. I want you to know that what's true for them can also be true for you. That Jesus invites every single one of us to experience the hope and the new life that only Jesus gives to us. If you're wondering, well, what is this all about? When Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, this was God in human form. He came and he walked among us. And as he did, there was a man that went before him. That man's name was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was there to provide a way to help people be prepared to hear and to receive the message of Jesus. And so when John the Baptist showed up, he said some things to people who were following John the Baptist about Jesus. And what he said about Jesus is so important because it helps us understand why Jesus matters so much. Here's what the Bible says about this. In John 1:29, it says, "The next day John," meaning John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him." So there's this crowd of people, and John the Baptist says this to that crowd that was listening to him. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, that phrase, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," to the people who first heard that 2,000 years ago, that statement was profound. We've got some distance between us and them, and so we just need some help understanding what does that actually mean? Well, 2,000 years ago in Israel, these were people who were following the Jewish tradition, and they celebrated something called Passover. People who continue to follow the Jewish tradition still follow Passover today. And Passover records a true event that occurred when the nation of Israel first became a people group, first became a nation. It was about 1,500 years before Jesus, and the people of God, the Israelites, had been enslaved in Egypt. And God did not want his people to be living in slavery. And so God told Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, "Let my people go free that they may come and worship me." And Pharaoh said no. And there was a standoff between Pharaoh and God, but God is God. And so God was patient and had given warnings and had given signs, but said enough is enough. The day is coming that I'm going to bring my people out of slavery. And so he told everyone that what was going to happen was that death was going to come over the land, and it would impact every single home in all of Egypt and the land. But that they could be escaped from death, that death would pass over their household if they took a lamb and killed it, then they had that for the Passover meal, but they would take the blood of the lamb and paint it on their doorpost. And if they painted the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, that death would pass over the home. Now, why were they doing that? Because they were showing that they were putting their trust not in themselves, not in their own effort, not in trying to control their own life, but they were putting their trust in God. And that whole image that actually happened so many years ago, what was telling the people of Jesus' day and is telling us still to this day, that Jesus is that lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That in the same way that death passed over those people then, spiritual death will pass over us if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus alone. And the reason that Jesus came was to show us how to live a perfect human life, how to live a life that was truly pleasing and worshipful to God. But then Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment for the thing that separated us from God. And that was something called sin. Sin's a word that is often used in religious settings and contexts, but here's just what sin is. Sin is doing anything that's not aligned with who God is. And it turns out every single one of us have sin in our life. We have all done things that we know are wrong, and we did them anyway. We've all not done certain things that were good, that we knew we should do, that we chose not to do. But even deeper than that, you and I just have a natural disposition to try to trust ourselves and not to trust in God. And that sin is a problem because that sin has separated us from God. But God is a solution, and it's Jesus. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. Death went on him instead of on us because death is the consequence of sin. And then Jesus didn't stay dead because it's God. And 3 days after Jesus was crucified on the cross, he rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb, proving that anyone who trusts in Jesus is set free not only from the slavery to sin, but is also set free from eternal death. That, as Hayden said in his own faith story, that there's a day coming in the future when our time in this life is over, that we'll be with God forever because death no longer comes for us because of Jesus. And that means that we need to accept Jesus to receive this incredible gift of new life and salvation that he alone offers to us. And so this whole series that we've been in this month that builds up to today has been a series about talking about what Jesus has done for us. That God has a plan and a purpose for our life, that God loves us, that God knows everything we've ever done, but chooses to love us anyway and had went to the cross to take the punishment for our sin. But it all builds to this moment because in order to receive all that Jesus has for us, we have to personally accept him. And here at Wooddale Church, we say it's saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes to trusting in him and not in ourselves. And saying yes to Jesus is kind of like this chair that's here. Now, I believe that this chair has the strength to hold the full weight of me. I believe that if I were to sit in this chair would hold me up. But it's very different to know that or believe that that may be true. It's a different thing to say that, but it's something entirely different to then actually sit in the chair and put my trust in the chair. And for many of us, that's like our faith in Jesus. Many of us have grown up in a tradition where we knew that Jesus was called the Lamb of God. We knew that he died for the sins of the world. We knew that this was available to us, but we never sat in the chair. We never put our trust in Jesus. In fact, for some of us, maybe we walked away because life happened. And we got distracted and we got busy and we got pulled into other things. And that chair's kind of always been there. Jesus has always been there, but we've never actually trusted in him. For others of us, we've watched many other people that we know, maybe somebody that invited you here today who was being baptized, who they put their faith and trust in Jesus, and we've watched other people be supported by Jesus. But we ourselves haven't put our faith and trust in him. And there are others of you today that you walked in and you didn't even know this was an option. You thought it was all about you. You thought you had to do it all by yourself, that you had to find your own purpose, that you had to find your own sense of significance, that you had to get yourself right before God. And you're hearing today, maybe for the first time, that you don't have to do any of that. In fact, you can't do any of that. That Jesus has done all of it for you, and all you need to do is say yes to his gift that he is giving to you, the forgiveness that he wants to give to you, the new life that he wants to give to you. And then there are others of us who have heard this and who know it, but we're trying to sit and stand at the same time because it's really tempting to try to do life our own way. But the only way to put our faith in Jesus is to entrust the full weight, everything, to him. And when we do, we rest completely in what Jesus has done for us. It has nothing to do with what we do. It has everything to do with what he's done and what he offers. And the reason we celebrate Jesus is because of the incredible gift of new life that he's given to us. And it's new life that you can have by saying yes to him. To do that is simply to have a conversation with God where you receive the gift. So in just a moment, I'm going to lead us through a prayer. I'll pray out loud. You can pray silently. If you have never put your trust in Jesus, then I want to invite you to let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus. You can do so by praying silently what I pray aloud. Would you bow your heads with me? If you want to say yes to Jesus, you can just speak this from your heart. God, I acknowledge that I have done things that I know are wrong. You call that sin. I agree with you that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that he rose to new life. And that because of what Jesus has done for me, you forgive me. I accept that forgiveness and receive new life in you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.